First of Kings chapter 18. It happened after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Elijah in the third year. This is the third year of the drought which Elijah had called to try to get the people to repent. And the word of Yahweh came to him in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. The famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared Yahweh greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yahweh, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So all the time you find that there are people who are believers who you wouldn't imagine. There are people in high places who might believe, but you might not think so. Now, you might think, well, how on earth could a believer actually exist in the court of Ahab and Jezebel? Well, it must have been extremely difficult, and he must have been asked to do things which he had to say he couldn't do, or he made an excuse why he couldn't do them. And I think of Daniel being elevated to be the prime minister, really, in Babylon. Must have been extremely difficult. Lots of conflicts of conscience. Anyway, Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and all the brooks. Perhaps we'll find some grass and save the horses and mules alive so that we don't lose all the animals." Well, Ahab was so vain. I mean, he was more interested in keeping his horses alive than his people. There must have been people pretty well dying of famine and starvation. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way. As Obadiah was in the way, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" He replied, "It is I. Go and tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." Now, Obadiah has called Elijah, "My lord, you're my lord," but Elijah doesn't seem to like Obadiah. He says, "Now go and tell your lord, Ahab, behold, Elijah is here." Later on, we're going to find that Elijah says to God, "I only am left of those who serve you." So he obviously considered Obadiah and everybody else who was faithful, like the 50 prophets who'd been hid in two caves, that's 100 altogether. He obviously considered that they weren't the real deal. Something was wrong with them. Well, Obadiah says to Elijah, "Wherein have I sinned that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As Yahweh your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my lord," that's Ahab, "has not sent to seek you. When they said, 'He's not here,' he took an oath of the kingdom that they didn't find you. And now you say, 'Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here.' It will happen as soon as I'm gone from you that the spirit of Yahweh will carry you I don't know where. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he can't find you, he'll kill me. But I, your servant, have feared Yahweh from my youth." So it was quite common for Elijah to be snatched away to different places. And when he dies and he's snatched up into the sky, or some people like to say into the heavens, but it's better to translate it into the sky, people went out looking for him because they expected that he'd come down somewhere. So when people say, "Oh, Elijah went to heaven," no, he didn't. Because, as John 3 says, no man has ascended into heaven. Jesus was the first fruits of those who will live forever, not Elijah. So Obadiah goes on, "Wasn't it told, my lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of Yahweh? How I hid 100 men of Yahweh's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will kill me.'" Elijah said, "As Yahweh of armies lives before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" He replied, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's family, in that you have forsaken the law of Yahweh, and you have followed Baal. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and 450 of the prophets of Baal, and 400 of the prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all Israel and gathered the prophets of Baal together to Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you waver between the two sides? If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people didn't answer him. Well, this is the right logic. There's only two choices, God or the idols. Just as it's said to Israel several times, there is set before you life and death, therefore choose life that you may live. There are not three choices. There's not a, yeah, I sort of believe, but then I don't believe. No, you have the choice. There's only two choices. Just as when you come to the day of judgment, there will only be two outcomes, to the right or to the left. And now, seeing that that's how it is, we should choose the way of God with all our heart, without reserve, give ourselves totally to his way. Not try and mix the two. You can't do that. Then Elijah said to the people, I, even I only, am left a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Well, he's just been reminded by Obadiah that there were 100 prophets of Yahweh who had been hidden in a cave when Jezebel tried to kill them. But he obviously doesn't think they're any good. He says, I only am left. So don't think that you are the only one, that everybody else, everyone else who claims to be a true believer is in fact not. It's a temptation that afflicts some people, maybe more than others. Elijah says, let them therefore give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire beneath it. And I will dress the other bull and put it on the wood and put no fire beneath it. You call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the God who answers by fire. Let him be God. All the people answered, well said. Well, I must say that although Elijah was arrogant and condemnatory and superior and all that, he had a huge faith, I have to say, that he sets up this contest and says, right, let's put these two animals here, and if I'm of God, God will send fire down and burn it up, and if your God is God, he'll send fire down and burn it up. They took the bull, which was given to them, this is the prophets of Baal, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Baal, hear us! But there was no voice. They leaped about the altar which was made. At noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry louder, for he's a god. Either he's meditating, or he's gone to the toilet, or he's on a journey, or maybe he's sleeping, you need to wake him up. Well, that sort of sarcasm and a crude kind of language is not at all what we should use. And as I say, Elijah had a huge faith, but he was not at all perfect in his attitude. They cried aloud and cut themselves with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. It was so when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering, but there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any who responded. Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. He repaired the altar of Yahweh that was thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh and made a trench around the altar large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. It's like a description of it in slow motion. There's no video, of course, that was taken at the time, but the record enables us to imagine it with everybody watching him. They'd failed to get fire to come down from heaven. And he said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. He said, do it a second time, and they did it the second time. He said, do it a third time, and they did it the third time. The water ran around the altar, and he filled the trench with water. Now, this was to prove that in no way was this a trick. Don't forget, they were on the top of a mountain, and there are no wells or streams on the very top of a mountain. And there was a drought. So it would have been very difficult to get this water, and he must have arranged it somehow to have been brought up, maybe from the sea. A long way, because water's heavy. And he really wanted to prove that this is no trick. It happened at the time of the offering, that Elijah came near and said, Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, Yahweh, answer me, that this people may know that you, Yahweh, are God and that you have turned their heart back again. So his motive in this was not to do a stunt, was not to get publicity for himself, was not to make himself look cool because he'd sort of done magic. He really did want the people to turn back to Yahweh. That was his motive. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood, the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. And that's what the name Elijah means. El-Yah. Literally, God is Yah. Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let one of them escape. They seized them. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed them there. Elijah said to Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there's nothing. He said seven times, go again. He prays once for rain to come, no rain. Next time, no rain. Next time, no rain. And it's only the seventh time that the servant comes back and says, there's a small cloud like a man's hand rising up out of the sea. He said, go up, tell Ahab, get ready and go down so that the rain doesn't stop you. After a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The hand of Yahweh was on Elijah, and he tucked his cloak into his belt and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So that's where, of course, his terrible wife Jezebel was. So here you see a man who had absolute faith, absolutely wonderful, and was truly motivated in trying to bring God's people back to him, and yet he was proud and arrogant and considered himself a cut above everybody else and to be the only true believer. He didn't think Obadiah was a good guy, didn't think the 100 prophets that Obadiah had bravely saved, didn't think they were the real deal. So you see here, as with all of us, faith mixed with weakness. So don't be discouraged on one hand that you're not perfect, that you recognize that I do believe, but I've got this or that weakness. You know, Elijah and all the servants of God were actually the same. When you read the Bible records, that's what you find. It doesn't justify us. It doesn't mean, it's okay to be weak, but it comforts us if we worry that I'm not perfect.